What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Mentally Entangled podcast. This is your host, SB Sanchez, and I am actually by myself today. So I'm sitting in a room talking to myself, talking to you guys, well, pretending to talk to you guys because you guys aren't here, but you will be hearing this coming Friday. To all of my regular listeners, you guys are used to me having a guest and kind of bringing them in and having a conversation with them. And through their stories and their experiences, we kind of go on a trail where we're able to hear some of the mental challenges that other people go through, how they combat them. And along the way, I'm able to input on certain mental health tidbits just because of the background and education that I have. But I wanted to try something different, and this is actually something that I plan on doing pretty regularly. Every 11th episode, so we just had 10 episodes in a row. This is the 11th, and then we'll have another 10 after this, and then on the following 11th one, I'm going to go ahead and come on and do this again. And what I really wanted to do is include an episode where it's just a Q&A. And I went ahead and contacted some of my people in my circle who are not in the mental health field. And I just asked them, I'm like, hey, if you have some time, make a list of some of like the common mental health questions that you have that you want me to answer honestly, that maybe like you've never been able to ask a therapist before or a mental health practitioner, and you just want to know the answer. And I collected that list, and it's a pretty good list. So we have lots of episodes to come on this, but I wanted to take some time specifically today to go through some of them and hopefully give you guys some answers to questions that you guys have been having for a while. I do realize as I was going through this list is that a lot of the questions do have similarities to them. So I did bundle them to a certain extent as well. Like there was quite a few on stress and stress management. And so I can bundle some of the questions together to kind of give you just an overview. But I will read the question out loud first so you know directly what I'm answering. And then we'll just jump into the answer and kind of go from there. This is my first time recording by myself, and I'm realizing right now as I sit here that I don't know if I should be this concerned with the fact that talking to myself actually feels really normal. Don't get me wrong, I absolutely love interviewing other people, mainly because I enjoy meeting people who are just completely different than me. I think that we have lost the concept of like, sometimes if we just sit there and talk to each other and learn from each other, we can probably get a lot more out of that than doing a Google search sometimes. And so I really enjoy having conversations with people who have different cultural backgrounds than me and come from different experiences or different environments, just because it kind of just teaches me along the way some of the things that they've had to go through that maybe I haven't or I haven't yet. It makes me feel like I have a wider spread access to knowledge just because I put myself in those situations. So I challenge everybody to just every once in a while sit down with somebody that you know nothing about and just have a conversation. You might be surprised what you find out. And that's why I've chose kind of this conversational way of running my podcast. But this is actually pretty fun as well, if I do say so myself. We'll see how the next 30, 45 minutes go. But we can go ahead and just jump straight into it. I am going to start with this question because I feel like it's a pretty good place to start. And the first question that I have on this list, it says, how can I tell if what I'm feeling is just everyday stress or something I need to take more seriously? Ooh, that's actually a really good one. Okay, so first of all, everybody experiences stress. And if they tell you they're stress-free, they're lying to you, okay? Stress is everywhere. Every day is going to have stress. But stress does exist on a spectrum, right? There are going to be like daily stressors. And then there's going to be those things that stress us out that maybe we weren't prepared for or that surprised us during our day or during our week. And those sometimes are a little bit more difficult to manage than the things that we experience every day. And it's really simply because we have more practice with our daily stressors than maybe we do with like a huge event that happens that we weren't expecting. So the question is basically asking, you know, how can you tell the difference? When do you kind of need to tune in to being like, okay, maybe this stressor is something that I need to be a little bit more concerned about than on average daily stressor. To kind of break it down before we dive into it, a daily stressor may look like finances, right? First of the month, am I going to have enough money to pay my bills, right? Or a daily stressor for somebody else may be how hectic their day is, right? Like, oh, I'm going to be back to back in meetings. I'm not going to have any breaks. I'm going to be exhausted. That might be a daily stressor for somebody else. Some of the daily stressors that I experience would be probably time management. That's a big one for me. So it's like, am I going to have enough time in the day to get this to-do list done? That's a big one for me. Another thing that could be stressful is maybe what are you going to have for dinner? That could stress you out easily. Like if you didn't have time to go grocery shopping on the weekend and you're going into a week and you have no groceries in the fridge, then after work, you might be a little bit stressed out about like, okay, I actually have no idea what I'm eating. I'm in rush hour. What's going to be the quickest? What's going to be the easiest thing? Maybe what's going to be the healthiest option? So those are examples of some daily stressors that you may experience. Now, non-daily stressors may look like the loss of a loved one. Maybe you just experienced a death or loss. It can look like one day you lose your job. That's obviously not something that we necessarily expect or plan for. So that can be kind of an event that throws you off a little bit. Another non-daily stressor may be something like a big presentation or a big speech that you have to give or a big test that you may have coming up. So something that may not happen every day, but the event itself has enough of a change, of a transition to bring upon that stress. Again, this is on a spectrum. So some of those things might be a little bit easier to manage for some, while others may be extremely difficult. Like, for example, a death or a loss of a loved one. That is going to be an event that brings along stress and probably some depression that you are maybe not going to be prepared for. And you're going to have to manage and kind of learn as you go. Okay. So how can you tell when it's something you need to kind of hone into a little bit more? Pay attention to your body, okay? First of all, self-awareness. That's really the key to stress. Self-awareness. In fact, I would actually summarize that further and say that self-awareness is the key to being able to maintain a positive and healthy mind for a long duration of time. It takes a ton of practice. So don't even think you're going to perfect this in one day or one week. Probably not even in a year. Okay. It's going to take a while, but self-awareness is going to be the key component, especially to being able to tell, okay, is this a stressor or a type of stress that I need to be more concerned about? And here's why. Daily stressors, they're going to bring along some physical symptoms, right? Maybe you get a headache or maybe you are preparing for, you know, all the chaos that's about to come during the day. And so you feel a little bit more tired or a little bit more mentally drained. Those are going to be some pretty average symptoms that may come from stress, some physical symptoms. If you start recognizing some physical symptoms that are more extreme, that's when I would say you need to start raising some question marks as to, okay, maybe I need to go get some help. Maybe I need to go see a therapist. Maybe I need to try to figure out what's going on. Extreme physical symptoms would be like you haven't slept at all in the past 3-4 nights, either because you can't fall asleep or maybe you're having really bad nightmares because you're going to bed stressed and then you're having nightmares about how stressed you are. It may look like that. Another extreme physical symptom, loss of appetite. You should be consuming food on somewhat of a regular cycle. Now, not every day is going to be perfect. I understand that. But if you've gone 2 or 3 days without eating, that should be a sign to be like, okay, this is not normal. This is not healthy. That's going to be the determining factor. Is this healthy? Is this affecting me in more than one way? Because for example, if you haven't slept in the past 3-4 nights, you haven't gotten a good amount of sleep or actual sleep that is beneficial to you, then you're going to see it start to affect your ability to perform at work. You're going to see it affect your mood, right? Which will then affect your ability to treat your loved ones the way that you want to. So you might be grumpy. You might be angry towards those loved ones when in reality, you may not necessarily feel that way naturally. Irritability. Whew. Okay. This is a big one for stress. And I can speak to this on a personal level because if I'm extremely stressed, that's probably the first thing that happens. I'm going to be irritated. And I'm not talking about like irritated when inconveniences happen. I'm talking about irritated at the most smallest details that wouldn't normally throw me off. Okay. Now I just talked about like basically what's normal and not normal. That's why I said self-awareness is going to be such a key factor of this, because unless you know what your normal is, you're not going to know what your not normal is. Okay. So in order to be able to really hone in and focus on like, okay, maybe I am experiencing physical symptoms that are more extreme than average, you have to know what your baseline average is, which means you're going to need to do some work on paying attention to yourself. Okay. See how you act when you are just stressed about a daily stressor. See how you act when something unexpected happens. All right. And compare the two situations. Be like, oh, okay, something that tends to happen when I get really stressed is I get irritated. If you can hone in and focus in on being able to be self-aware of the changes that happen to some of those physical symptoms that you experience, it'll allow you to be able to determine whether or not this is a stressor or an experience of stress that maybe you're going to need some extra tools, some extra help on being able to manage and get through. Okay. So I'm hoping that some of those things kind of gave an answer as to how you can tell whether or not it's just everyday stress or maybe something that you need to take a little bit more seriously. Okay. All right. Let's move on to another question. One thing about talking myself with no guests, I'm realizing I'm a lot more out of breath. So, okay, let's move on to question number two. Question number two says, can social media mess with my mental health and how do I use it without getting caught up in the bad stuff? All right, two-part question. First of all, can social media really mess with my mental health? Yes. Some people, yes. Everybody, no. Again, everybody's different, right? The important thing, I have a feeling I'm going to be repeating this a lot today. Self-awareness. Okay, you need to see, how does it make you feel? How does it affect you? So you're really the only person who can determine whether or not social media is affecting your mental health in a negative way, okay? Now, am I going to sit here and say like, if you scroll on Instagram, automatically it's a detriment to your mental health? No, it's not going to automatically like zap away your mental health. That's not how this works. Now, I will say there are certain things that come with social media that tend to affect people's mental health in a negative way, okay? I'm going to focus on one specific one, comparison. Whether it's upward or downward comparison, 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 okay? So here's the thing. You're going to open up Instagram and you're going to see what people want you to see. If they want you to see all of their happy, fun-filled memories, that's what you're going to see. If they don't want you to see some of those sad, tougher, angry-filled memories that they experience probably at least once a week, if they don't show you that on their reels or their main posts or their pinned posts, you're not going to see it, okay? So here's where this becomes dangerous. If you then log onto Instagram and see all of these happy-filled, smiley-faced-filled posts on social media, you're going to be like, damn, why does my life not feel like that, right? Why do I feel like I don't have as many life-filled moments full of joy? That's where it becomes dangerous. So here's the thing. When you're going onto social media, you have to avoid how do I put this? You have to avoid putting yourself in that dangerous loop of comparing yourself to others based off of what you think they have or feel and what you know you feel and have. Because number one, you don't know if it's the truth, okay? It is so easy to lie on social media. It is so easy. In fact, you should know by now that majority of the stuff that you see online may not even be true, period, whether it's a social media post or if it's a Google search you just did, right? So fact checking is always something that you want to go out of your way to do. And in a way, that's what you want to do. You want to make sure to fact check. So if you find yourself wishing that you had the life of somebody else that you see on social media, fact check it. Number one, do you know it's actually true? And that alone, you don't, right? Unless you know that person personally, then you don't know whether or not whatever they're posting is actually their real life. Number two, if you do know them, right, fact check the fact that they are sharing only the good, happy, filled memories, more than likely, okay? Which means they're leaving out 50% of life, which is those unhappy filled memories and events that everybody goes through. Okay. So again, fact check yourself. If you are on social media and you find yourself wishing that you looked like somebody, okay, that is very, very dangerous. And that happens a lot. We want to be as skinny as the social media influencer, or we want to have certain characteristics that they may have. We want to have the long hair when we have short hair naturally. We want to have the blue eyes when we naturally have brown eyes, okay? And so that's where these things get dangerous, if you find yourself kind of entering that loop, because you're going to forget through all the comparison that you're going to start doing, you're going to forget about all the things that you do have. All of the things that you do like about yourself, all of the things that you have that other people wish they had, right? So if you are going to go onto social media, I would say the number one thing that it can do is cause you to find yourself in a situation where you are comparing, right? And then feeling like you, your life or you yourself are not enough. If you find yourself feeling those feelings, that's probably a sign that you need to take a step back, okay? So I would say that's one of the biggest things. That's one of the biggest things that even I struggle with, because at the age that I'm at, I feel like every time I open up Instagram, somebody's getting married, or somebody just bought a new house, or somebody just got a new dog, right? And it's so easy for me to sit there and be like, oh my goodness, like all these people are doing so much and they have so much going on for them. Like, I feel like I don't have enough going on. Am I not doing the right thing? Do I not have the right job? Am I not in the right relationship? Right? And you start spiraling, and those negative thoughts can become really detrimental to your mental health. So I would say, to answer the first part of the question of whether or not social media can quote unquote mess with your mental health, I would say yes and no. Depends on the person, depends on what it is that you're like looking at, and it also depends on how you are receiving whatever it is that you are consuming on social media. The second part of the question says, how do I use social media without getting caught up in the bad stuff? Okay, so there are a ton of ways that you can maintain social media as part of maybe your daily routine without getting into that dangerous loop that we talked about. Have a boundary. Simple as that. Have a boundary. So if you recognize like social media time, Instagram scrolling, TikTok scrolling is taking over your time immediately after work, and you're finding yourself automatically comparing and thinking negative thoughts about everything that you're seeing, maybe from now on when you get home from work, the rule is that for the first couple hours, you don't go on social media. You simply take the time to detox from your day, eat some food, it's probably dinner time, right? Take a shower, do whatever it is that you need to do for your night routine. After you've done all of that and given yourself the space and the time to really detox from your day, then maybe it'll be social media time. Something that I have been trying to be more intentional about is not starting my morning with social media. So I have found that one of the negative consequences that social media may have for me is that I will find myself aimlessly scrolling. And then one thing piques my interest in another, and then I'm down just a rabbit hole, right? Then I'm getting to the middle of the day and I'm feeling like, oh my goodness, like I should have spent the morning doing this and this and this, but instead I was looking at reels or TikToks, like why did I do that? And it just wasn't good for me, right? So I have the magic rule of thumb for me right now is that when I wake up, rather than go straight to my phone, well, I do turn off my alarm, obviously, because nobody wants that ringing continuously. So I turn off my alarm. Immediately after that, I spend the next hour getting ready for my day. That looks like changing, doing my hair. If I need to take a shower in the morning, I'll take a shower. My face routine, lotion, perfume, all the good stuff. Only after I have truly prepared myself for success going into my day, as far as like getting everything together that I will need for my day, then do I allow myself to go onto social media. And a lot of times that tends to happen once I've made it to the car. That's kind of like my, I guess, green check mark, giving me permission to be like, okay, you've done what you need to do for now. Allow yourself to sit here, maybe pick a song for whatever drive is up ahead to work and go ahead and look at some reels that somebody sent me, right? So just have boundaries around it. I would say that's going to be your safest bet in being able to use it without quote unquote getting pulled into the bad stuff. And whatever that boundary may look like, it may be different for everybody. For you, it may be that you have like a designated social media time, or restricting, you know, whether or not you do it in the morning or the afternoon. It can look all sorts of ways, but have a boundary for yourself. Give yourself the chance to step away from it if you feel like it is draining your mental health in any sort of way. Okay. All right. Question three. So question is, why is talking about mental health still so hard, even when I know it's important? Whew. That's like a therapist's dream question right there. Yeah. So, I mean, this doesn't go unknown, right? Mental health is a topic that it's been easier to talk about, I would say, within the past couple years. I would say when COVID hit, the year after COVID started, it got a little bit easier, got a little bit more trendy, a little bit more mainstream. More people were going to therapy. More people were aware of like depression and anxiety and stress that was going on. So that alone heightened our ability to talk about it a little bit, but I mean, not really. So for example, last Friday, if you listened to the episode, September, we're obviously in October now, but September was National Suicide Prevention Month. So suicide, a mental health topic, it doesn't go unknown that it's a problem, but we avoid talking about it. We see it even with, you know, some simpler topics like depression, anxiety. We don't like to admit that we're depressed. We don't like to admit that we're anxious, right? Yeah, you're not getting together with your friends and being like, hey, so this week I felt really depressed. Here's why. Here's what happened. Here's what I did. Here's how it made me feel. Those aren't everyday conversations that we're having. Now, of course, as a biased therapist, I am going to challenge you to try to have them, but I do understand that it is difficult. I guess the question is, why is it so difficult? And the truth is because it sucks to talk about. I mean, mental health is honestly you admitting that you're not okay sometimes. That's what it is. When your mental health is just glorious, yeah, it can be a lot easier to talk about. Like, oh yeah, I've been feeling super excited and just really mindful about the new job that I started. I feel like I'm in the place that I need to be in. I'm in such a good relationship. It's going to be really easy to talk about your mental health when your mental health is good. In fact, if your mental health is really good in that moment or that period of time in your life, you probably have found yourself talking about mental health without even knowing, right? You're expressing happiness, joy. Those emotions piece of cake, walk in the park for a lot of us. It's the negative side, right? When our mental health isn't as golden, isn't full of rainbows and sunshine, that is when it is more difficult. And it's more difficult because it's not fun, okay? Well, it's not fun to you guys. It's fun to me because I'm a therapist. But to other people, it can be really uncomfortable. Like the idea of admitting that something made me sad, or that something made me feel jealous, or that something is making me nervous, right? We are not used to admitting feelings, emotions, moments of weaknesses. In today's society, I think we've kind of been taught to like really celebrate the big wins, right? Really celebrate those positive emotions, those positive times in our life. We've been taught to celebrate those. We've never been taught to celebrate / talk about our negatives. In fact, usually we try to hide them, right? I mean, we could talk about what we just did with social media. Again, how often do you see people posting about the days that don't go so well? Not as often, right? But how often do you see somebody posting about they just won a trophy and award? Oh, 100%. You bet you're going to find that on their social media the next day, right? And so we have this society that I guess doesn't really support the idea of us having those conversations, especially not openly. And I mean, that's a problem, right? But they are uncomfortable. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, you know, because I'm having this conversation with you, that tomorrow you're going to wake up and be able to tell people all about the negative emotions that you've been feeling. Like, no, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. That wouldn't be fair. But you're going to have to get used to being uncomfortable. You're going to have to get used to maybe using vocabulary that you're not used to, like depression, anxiety, stress, suicidal ideation, right? Vocabulary terms that we don't hear as much as maybe positivity, happiness, joy, fun. You're going to have to tap into those emotions, tap into those feelings. Now, I will say that probably that connecting piece, other than it, okay, so obviously it's hard to talk about because it's uncomfortable and it's not necessarily the most fun topic to talk about. But that second part, let's say you are in tune with how you're feeling and you're experiencing depression. Now the question is, okay, you're aware that you're experiencing depression. Do you know how to say it out loud? That's going to be the second piece of it, right? So communicating, verbalizing negative emotions in normal everyday conversation. Now, I have a very simple example of how much time we spend actually lying about our mental health. Every day, I walk into the same building, okay? And every day when I walk in, at some point, someone will be like, "Hey, SB, how are you?" And I'll be like, "I'm good, how are you?" It does not matter if I am having the worst day. My answer is going to be like, "I'm good, how are you?" Automatic lie, right? Now, if I was being in tune with actually being able to talk about my mentality and how I'm feeling mentally, on those bad days, I would turn to that person and be like, you know what? I feel terrible. Actually, today has really sucked. I don't know what to do. I'm extremely pissed. Nothing's gone right. And I need to see my therapist. Can you imagine if people actually answered that question truthfully when someone asked them, "Hey, how are you?" Do you know how uncomfortable people would get? Because we simply just don't go there. It's always, "I'm good. How are you?" On like robot terms. And you just move on, right? So being able to communicate whatever it is that you're feeling, those feelings of discomfort, the feelings of maybe it's an emotion that makes you feel weak, right? Feelings of weakness, feelings of vulnerability. Are you able to not only feel them, be aware of them, but then take them into a conversation? Right? Now, in that question, the second part of that question did say, even when I know it's important, okay? And number one, there's nothing wrong with you finding it difficult to have these conversations. There's nothing wrong with it. Again, you haven't been taught how to. 90% chance. You have not been taught how to. You've probably never even seen somebody have that conversation in front of you before, okay? So even though you may know that your mental health is important, don't beat yourself up for not being able to talk about it out loud, right? And if you need to start with a mental health professional in a closed environment that includes confidentiality and it stays just between you and your therapist, start there. You will find that, you know, once you practice with one person, it'll get a lot easier for you to then practice with other people, okay? And especially in therapy, you know, or maybe you join a support group, or maybe you do this work on your own, whatever it may look like. When you learn to do those things, when you enter those environments where you're really focusing on being able to communicate your emotions and things that are going on with your mental health, what ends up happening is that along the way, you're going to acquire new tools that you didn't have before, new ways of expressing emotions that you never even knew about before, right? And as you collect more and more tools, those conversations, being able to verbalize and communicate those negative emotions or those negative mental health experiences that you have will get a lot easier. So don't get frustrated. Try it out. And again, if you need to start small, start small. Even if it's just a one-on-one conversation. All right, let's move on to question number 4. And this one will actually probably be the last one for today. We have many, many more to come, but I think this will be a good one to end off of. The question is, what is the best way to stay on top of my mental game when life gets crazy? That is a great one. Okay, so life is crazy. First and foremost, life is crazy. And for me to pretend that I'm going to have all the time in the world for self-care and getting my nails done and seeing my therapist, no, that would be a bunch of BS, okay? Because life is insane and I've got things to do and bills to pay and people to take care of. So here's the trick. Take care of yourself before life gets crazy. And I know you're not going to like this answer because it doesn't technically answer the question head on, right? So you're asking me, okay, SB, like life is super crazy right now. What do I do? How do I get through this? And I'm like, well, you know, we're going to get through this. I'm going to give you everything I can to get you through this. But when the situation ends, the first thing I'm doing is I'm calling you out. Being like, okay, were you doing the things that you needed to be doing for yourself before this happened? Or were you just trying to tap into those things as the craziness happened, right? Biggest term that I can think of right now would be self-care, okay? Because when life gets crazy, the number one thing that's going to save you and get you through those moments is going to be whatever self-care routines you have in place. So self-care has to be something that you do even when things are not chaos and not craziness. Establish those habits and do them consistently. If you can't do them consistently when times are good, when times get crazy as hell, you're not going to be able to do them consistently then either. Okay? For example, self-care for me is going to the gym. If I only ever went to the gym when I felt super depressed or super stressed or super anxious, it would do me absolutely no good, right? But because I've established it as part of my routine, something that I do for myself, no matter what is going on in the day, that has now become my de-stressor. I could have the craziest day ever, but I know that for an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it may be that day, I will just be focusing on myself. I'll be able to cancel out some of the things that are going on around me and just really allow myself to be present on my own health, right? My own breathing and my own strength and my own agility, my own endurance, right? I'll be able to be very present in that moment. But again, I've established this as my self-care routine. I've done it over and over and over again. So when times do go crazy, it's actually beneficial to me. Again, if I just tried working out on a random day where things got crazy and super stressful, more than likely me having to go to the gym is going to feel like chaos, right? Because I'm not going to know what to do. I'm going to feel lost. I'm going to feel unconfident. On top of that, it's going to feel like a chore. I'm going to be miserable. So that's not going to do me any good because I'm just adding more chaos to the chaos, right? So to answer the question, the best way to stay on top of your mental game, freaking practice it. Practice strengthening your mental game every single day. If that's meditation, meditate every day or every other day or once a week. Have a schedule, whatever that may look like, right? If working on your mindset and your mental game looks like listening to a podcast that teaches you about coping mechanisms and techniques that you can use for anxiety, do that consistently, not just when you're super anxious, right? If it's the gym, have a routine. Go to the gym 3 days a week, 4 days a week, 5 days a week, whatever it may look like, right? So I can't give you a secret recipe as to what that thing will be that will help you get through those more chaotic times, that will help you maintain your mental game when life does get crazy. I cannot do that for you. You're going to have to do that work yourself. But once you do find that thing, do it consistently. Do it over and over and over again and practice whatever it is every single day or every other day or once a week. But again, consistently, not just when things get chaotic, okay? That's going to be the number one thing that I can tell you. I think it'll be a lifesaver. Again, most people have the misconception that like, oh, I can just do self-care when things get really bad. And it doesn't work. It absolutely does not work. So, all right. Thank you guys for joining me today. Again, I hope that some of the answers that I gave you today maybe helped you learn some things that you've been wanting to learn, but you've never had the opportunity to learn or never had anybody to teach you or have a conversation with you. And we're going to do this again. So there's a lot more questions to come. If you are listening to this and you find yourself having a question that you would like an answer to, reach out to me. Right? I have a social media account on Instagram. So follow our social media account and send me a DM, send me a message, and I can add it to the list so that at some point I can get to that answer for you. Okay. So if you need that Instagram tag, it's going to be mentally_entangled2023, and just shoot me a message and we can have a conversation if we need to on the side, or if it's a question that I feel like probably a lot of people have, I will go ahead and add it to the list and hit that question up on a future episode. So thank you guys for spending some time with me today as we entangled ourselves, I guess, in the mental world of questions, common questions. And if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to share and subscribe. Catch the next episode next Friday. And as always, our goal is to spread awareness on the importance of mental health as it relates to every person. No matter who you are or what you do, there's not a single person that goes unaffected by mental health. Don't forget, you are mentally entangled in every single aspect of your life. See you next time.